Hi, I'm Pam, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, thanks for having me again. I'm grateful to do service. Okay, so I'm just going to recap. Step one, admitted I was powerless over alcohol in my life. I've become unmanageable, and I just shared about how I came to that conclusion that I was an alcoholic, that, you know, like I said last week, I exhausted every avenue of trying to manage, control my drinking. You know, I went through a time where, you know, I focused on things other than alcohol. I was diagnosed with a mental illness, and I didn't see that I was an alcoholic. I just thought I had a mental illness, and I couldn't use because I was on medication and things like that. And I didn't see that I had any powerless over alcoholism. I would go to doctors and say, yeah, I'm staying sober, and no, I'm not using, and I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't know what sobriety was. And I didn't know what it meant to be an alcoholic. And, you know, I'd relapsed after not using for a little while and, you know, was determined to not use and, you know, to stop again because I wanted to help people. And someday I would stop. And, you know, it was, I would kept pushing it up. When I graduate college, I'm going to stop. You know, when I, you know, I'm going to just work for another year after college, and then I'll stop. And I kept pushing it, and then I saw that, you know, it really had me. You know, it was my master. It, you know, I tried to manage, tried to control the drinking, changing drinks, not drinking on certain days, all that stuff, and it didn't work. And I came to a place where I was humbled, and I realized, you know, that I couldn't do it on my own. I needed God's help, and I was gifted with the willingness to do whatever I was told to do, and came through this to this program. I was brought here by God. You know, I didn't make the decision on my own. I came to believe that a power greater than myself had restored me to sanity. And the first time I got sober, I had a powerful spiritual experience. You know, I was completely delusional and lost and thought I was on the right path and I was actually, you know, following destruction and I had no idea, completely delusional. And God plucked me out of that and guided me and showed me what to do, how to stay sober. I did a lot of the step work without knowing about the steps. I didn't come to AA, but I knew I needed a clean slate. I made amends to people, kind of skipped around the steps a little bit. You know, I didn't have any guidance, though, of the program. I didn't have fellowship. But I knew that a power had restored me to sanity. So, you know, I had that second step at that time, you know, before I forgot what God had done for me and relapsed. When I came into the rooms, you know, I saw that second step, and it was such a relief. Like, I realized I was home when I saw that because I had experienced all the spiritual stuff, and I thought I was on, like, the cutting edge of this something new, you know. I had no idea that other people were experiencing this, that God could be this close, you know. I had no idea. And so when I saw it in black and white and I heard people sharing, I knew I was right where I belonged and God had brought me here. So then the step three, the decision, you know, like I said, I didn't understand. It was kind of abstract to me when I came in, and my sponsor sat with me, and we did the prayer together. And, you know, it was really foggy, really out of it. But I, you know, I shared, I had a dream that God came to me and just had this light on me. And you know, I think that willingness just kicked in more. And I called her up and I said, all right, I'm going to do it. I made my decision, you know, and it was very, like, simple like that at first. And, you know, like I shared on step three, that it's a continuous thing that I see God wants more and more of me. You know, I have to be humble and seeking him and, you know, wanting to do his will. And that's a constant thing that I go through in my sobriety. And then I shared on step four, five, and six, and four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. And I looked at, you know, resentments that I had. I had to go through the process of seeing that these people were perhaps sick, and I had to stop blaming other people. I mean, I talked about my parents, that it just was never enough. They never showed up. to my, you know, my games when I played basketball, they weren't there, and, you know, it was just never enough. And I had to pray for them and do the fourth step prayer that perhaps they're sick and that I need to show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience. So I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. And, you know, it was a process of coming to that place and having the right attitude to forgive them and just be able to look at my mistakes and seeing my fears and listing out my fears and seeing the root of my fears, that, you know, it's all, you know, a matter of me being afraid of losing something I don't have, not getting what I want or being found out, and being able to see where, you know, why I was fearful and that it was really the root of a lot of why I behaved the way I did. And, you know, I did my sexual harms, my harms done others, and saw that I was in a lot of self-pity and always thought I was a victim. And not realizing that being in self-pity and depression, that it affects the people around me. And, you know, that it makes my parents worry. You know, I was thinking about how I would always talk to my sister every day. I always talk to her, and we're very close. But the first thing she would always say when I call her is, "What's wrong?" First thing, "What's wrong?" You know? And I started to notice that. I was always getting better, you know. Like, you know, I just saw that, and, you know, I wasn't comfortable with that anymore. I used to be comfortable with being in self-pity and feeling sorry for myself, and I wasn't okay with that anymore. You know, I just started to notice that. So I shared this with God, another alcoholic, and, you know, that's more humility came in. You know, just being honest about who I am and that, you know, I really, you know, was starting to get that attitude that I want to change, you know, and that I'm going to let God change me. And then step six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And it's a lot of willingness. I had to pray for the willingness, you know, and... You know, I shared, you know, how there's really not much in that paragraph, and it's small. There's not a lot of sentences, I should say, on the sixth step, but there's a lot there. You know, that there's a lot of prayer and a lot of time that I spent with God. You know, finding eventually, you know, things that are objectionable to me, things that, you know, I don't find okay anymore. Like I said, the self-pity, you know, I wasn't okay with that anymore. I used to be okay with that. That used to help me get through things, but... You know, it became objectionable to me, and I was able to, you know, pray on that and start to see that. And if I wasn't ready, you know, like my sponsor always said, pray for the willingness to be willing, you know. Now tonight, in step seven, humbly asked him to remove my shortcomings. So it's about humility. Like I said, you know, I experienced that in step one. I had to come to a place of humility. I had to see, you know, who I was and what I could and couldn't do on my own and that I needed God's help. And once I did that, you know, God's grace came in. And I was given that gift of willingness to do whatever it took. So, you know, I see it again in step seven. This humility has to come in. It's so important in sobriety, you know, to be honest and humble. You know, this is a prayer, you know, that I say to my Creator that I'm now willing to should have all me, good and bad. And I, you know, ask for strength through this, you know, because there is a lot of pain, you know. I always feel like it's like I'm playing tug of war with God, not that God's, you know, he's just kind of there, but I'm like, no, you know, I feel like it's like tug of war. And it's painful, you know, but... I think it says it in the step book that, you know, pain is a ticket into new life or something like that. You know, it's something that, you know, I used to look at. I don't want to feel that pain. But now I don't, like, the fear of the pain has lessened. And, you know, I want more of this and I want to do God's will. And to me, that's like humility, wanting to seek God and do his will. That's humility to me. And so, you know, it's a process. You know, I go through this continuously. And step eight, I'm ready to look at that list. I made a list of all persons I had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So I have people from my fourth step list, you know, but it's about thoroughness. So, you know, I can pray and ask God if there's anyone I missed and maybe there's things I didn't remember, you know, or didn't come to mind in my fourth that come up. You know, that's been my experience, that even I didn't have people on that list and they come into my life and I get that feeling and I know God's telling me I need to make that amends. So, you know, I just want to be thorough and open to, you know, making that amends. I had a friend who, when I first got sober, we moved to Florida together. You know, we're both a mess, you know, thought we were doing. We thought we knew what we were doing. We moved there. I had credit cards we were living off of, all in my name, you know. But I was, you know, I'll tell you the whole story, I guess. But so, you know, we lived there. Basically, it was all in my name. So, of course, I was left with all the debt. And I had such a hard time forgiving her, you know. I had to put her on my fourth step for a couple of years. I had to go back, you know, and do that. And, you know, I realized my mistake in the relationship is, in that situation in particular, is that I would tell people what she had done to me and tell everyone, you know, can you believe how she is and this and that. And, you know, I had to come to a place of seeing that. You know, I had her on my list for a long time. And we're in two different lives now. You know, I'm getting sober. She's still out there. And she wasn't around. She moved around a lot. You know, lost just like me. Sick just like me, you know. And I ended up running into her. I think I had checked my credit report like that day or something. And I ran into her in CVS. And I was just like, oh, you know, I just knew, like I said, that feeling, obviously, this is the time to make the amends. And I couldn't put it off. I could have, but I can't. I can't do that today. And so, you know, I admitted that to her and, you know, what I had done, that I had, you know, told other people and that, you know, I had forgiven her, too. She needed to know that I had forgiven her. And, you know, it was a great experience, you know. And it's not, you know, about me feeling better. You know, like I said, she needed that to feel forgiven too, you know. And we were very close friends. We moved to Florida together and we had a lot of times together. And, you know, so, you know, it was a beautiful experience to be able to do that. You know, like I said, I have to constantly keep that channel open of willingness. And, you know, I do go back and I do, you know, I do see, you know, how can I be thorough with this? I think that's it for this week. Thank you. Thanks.